السلام عليكم ورحمة الله وبركاته. الحمد لله وكفى، والصلاة والسلام على سيدنا المصطفى صلى الله عليه وعلى آله وأصحابه وبارك وسلم تسليما كثيرا كثيرا. أما بعد، فقد قال الله تبارك وتعالى في القرآن المجيد: أعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم، بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم. واللاتي تخافون نشوزهن فعظوهن واهجروهن في المضاجع واضربوهن فإن أطعنكم فلا تبغوا عليهن سبيلا إن الله كان عليا كبيرا. وإن خفتم شقاق بينهما فبعثوا حكما من أهله وحكما من أهلها إن يريدا إصلاحا يوفق الله بينهما إن الله كان عليما خبيرا. صدق الله العظيم. الحمدللہ، مد فضل کرم ان احسان اف اللہ تعالی، وی ہیو کم ٹو دا فورتھ پروگرام ود ریگارڈس ٹو دا ڈفرنٹ ایسپیکٹس آف نکاح. وی ہیڈ انٹینڈڈ بیفور رمضان ٹو ہیو دیز فور پروگرامز اوور دا سنڈیز ڈسکسنگ بریفلی ڈفرنٹ امپورٹنٹ ایسپیکٹس آف میرج، اینڈ الحمدللہ اللہ تعالی ہیز الاؤڈ فار اس ٹو ڈو دا فرسٹ تھری. And we now come to the fourth one. The fourth one is with regards to resolving our disputes. In every marriage there will be some disputes. So how do we go about resolving these disputes? At the onset I want to mention that when I am saying disputes, this is not referring to the nitty-gritty day-to-day arguments that husband and wife will have. Right? With regards to those little arguments, little disagreements that take place, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala from the onset, from the beginning of Surah An-Nisa, has instructed the man to adopt taqwa. Right? Number one. In other words, every step of the way he must remember Allah ta'ala is watching me. How I'm treating my wife, how I'm dealing with her, Allah ta'ala is watching me. I don't own her, she belongs to Allah Rabbul Izzat. So I must watch how I am looking after the amanat that Allah Pak has given in my care for my benefit. That's one. Then Allah Ta'ala, as the surah moves on, Allah Ta'ala advocates the case of woman. Allah Ta'ala says, وَعَاشِرُوهُنَّ بِالْمَعْرُوفِ. Live with them nicely. Live with them nicely. فَإِنْ كَرِهْتُمُوهُنَّ. If you dislike them, فَعَسَىٰ أَن تَكْرَهُوا شَيْئًا وَيَجْعَلَ اللَّهُ فِيهِ خَيْرًا كَثِيرًا. Then maybe you are disliking something whereas Allah Ta'ala has put abundant goodness in it. So in other words, the little mistakes, the small mistakes, etc., those should be overlooked. A man should be kind, he should be overlooking, he should be forgiving. So this is with regards to the day-to-day things where personal khidmat of his is not being made. Right? He wanted to eat mutton, she made chicken. Right? He told her not to put extra chilies, she put double amount. Right? Things like that. Small things. Right? It's not anything that we should be fighting over. So for the man, he, Allah Ta'ala gives these instructions. And Nabi Akareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam in different ahadith reminds the man that look, this woman is not going to be perfect. She has been created from the crooked rib. There is crookedness in her. You must appreciate her with that crookedness. Her beauty is in that crookedness. Right? I've explained this before, that men sometimes mention this in a derogatory way. Right? If Allah Ta'ala didn't make her like that, none of us would have had wives. No man will subject himself, a free man, will subject himself to be, so to say, inverted commas, in bondage of somebody else. But a lady does it. If a man has to go through childbirth, he won't have a second child. a lady will do it. Allah Ta'ala has made her like that. Right? So, we must not mention those things in a derogatory way. Her beauty is in that. Allah Ta'ala says that she is created from the rib. Right? Nabi Kareem Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam explains that she was created from the most crooked rib. Right? If you try to straighten this rib, it will break. وَكَسْرُهَا طَلَاقُهَا. The breaking of it means the end of the marriage. Now if we look at these words of Nabi Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, ask ourselves the question, if our rib bone was straight, would we be able to get faida out of it? You won't be able to benefit from a straight rib. In order to benefit from the rib, it has to be crooked. In order for a wife to be a wife, she has to be like that. So if a person is looking for Mrs. Perfect, he must remain single his whole life. Don't get married, wait for the hoors in Jannat. Right? Because you're not going to get Mrs. Perfect here. Because we are also not Mr. Perfect. If we're looking for perfect, we must ask ourselves whether we're perfect. Don't we also make mistakes? Don't we also err? And she overlooks so much. But a man cannot overlook the mistakes of his wife. So when we're talking about disputes, we're not talking about these things. These things Allah Ta'ala has told the man, adopt taqwa, treat her with kindness, with compassion. And for the Nabi Akareem Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam has informed the man from beforehand that she's not going to be so straight and so perfect. Right? On the other hand, for the lady, Allah Ta'ala is telling her that your husband is your Amir. Be obedient to her. Be obedient to him. Right? Be pious. Be obedient. Be protective. Right? Protect your chastity. Protect your husband's belongings. Protect your aulad, your children. She has been instructed all of this. Then Nabi Kareem sallallahu alaihi wasallam has told her that your jannat lies in the pleasure of your husband. So on the one hand, she has to come into the marriage with that mindset. The man has to come into the marriage with this mindset. If both of them have this type of mindset, then there's no problem. There won't be major issues. The little squabbles, the little arguments, that will all take place. Right? But there won't be any major things. Right? Now, in the marriage, the man has got certain functions which we have discussed. Right? His main function is he needs to be a provider. Right? Allah Ta'ala will obviously provide him, but he needs to be the provider. He needs to be the shepherd of this family. He needs to keep them on Sirat-e-Mustaqim, keep them on Deen. Right? He needs to earn. He is the security of that home. He is the anchor of that home. Right? So this is his functions. The lady, on the other hand, we've discussed, right, that she has to understand that once I've got married, now I have to live under the rule of my husband. Right? Now obviously all of this will be bound by Shariat. The husband cannot make rules that are not bound by Shariat. Right? We spoke about nafaqa, we spoke about all these things, mehr, I'm not going into it now. Now in this marriage, we will have two categories of women. Right? One category will be, as Allah Ta'ala mentions, فَالصَّالِحَاتُ قَانِتَاتٌ حَافِظَاتٌ لِلْغَيْبِ بِمَا حَفِظَ اللَّهِ. Right? She will be good, she will be pious, she will be obedient, and she will be protective, right, over all the different things that she needs to protect. So then, if the lady falls in that category, there is no reason for any dispute. Right? However, we will get a second category. The second category Allah Ta'ala mentions, وَاللَّاتِ تَخَافُونَ نُشُوزَهُنْ, and those wives whom you fear her disobedience, her bad way. Right? Now when we're talking about nushuz, as I said to you, we're not talking about less salt in the food and forgot to buy these things on the grocery list and all. We're not talking about those things. We are talking about the genuine hukuk of the husband. Right? For example, a wife is denying the husband his conjugal rights. Right? Now this is a major problem. Right? And this is a right that Allah Ta'ala has afforded him. One. Two, she is blatantly defying him. He is the qawwam. Allah Ta'ala said, "Ar-rijalu qawwamuna 'ala an-nisa." He is the amir in the house. He is the supervisor. She is blatantly defying his authority. Right? She is allowing people in the home whom he doesn't approve of. She is maintaining relationships with people whom Sharia doesn't allow, her husband doesn't allow. She refuses to perform her salah. She is exposing the children to guna. She is squandering the wealth of her husband. Right? Now these are issues that we're talking about. A couple cannot even start talking about separations and divorces and all of that until we don't reach this. The little disagreements and things like that that carry on, those are things we have to live with. Whichever woman you get married to and whichever man a lady marries, you're going to have this. He threw his socks down, you never pick it up. The other one will throw his hanky down, you won't pick it up. What you going to do? Life goes on. These are little nitty gritty things. You go beyond that. But now we got serious issues on the lady's side. Right? We will come to the man's side. We're busy with the lady. So these are serious issues where she is either breaking the hukam of Allah Ta'ala or she is not fulfilling the basic rights of her husband. Now before we move on, just a point of caution. Many a times it happens that both husband and wife are not on Sirat-e-Mustaqim. That's why the husband went and found a wife like that. Right? He wasn't looking for a homely, pious type of a girl. He was looking at somebody who's going to dress to kill, go with him, nightclub, movies, move around, all of that. Now, alhamdulillah, hidayat dawned upon him. He decided to change his life. The moment of hidayat hasn't come for his wife as yet. He cannot now become holier than thou now all of a sudden and say, right, you know what, now you're not reading namaz and you're not doing this and you're not doing that. He will have to be patient. He chose a wife like this. He led a life like this. Now he has decided to change. Now he will have to adopt hikmat, slowly, slowly expose her also to dini ta'aneem, make her zehen also slowly, and she will also then come onto the path. Right? There was just a point of caution in between. Right? Because we said just now that the lady is not reading namaz, etc. But he, bichara, last 10 years, he wasn't reading no namaz. Now all of a sudden, he changed. Now he expects her on the 11th year, the first day, she must be a pakka namazi. You've got to give her a little bit of time. Keep giving her fazail of salah, etc. Slowly she will come right. Okay? So coming back to all those things that we mentioned, now there is a dispute now. There is a problem. Because this is not workable. It can't carry on like this. Right? So now Allah Ta'ala gives the man procedure on how to handle the situation. Number one, فَعِذُوهُن. This is the first step. He has to take out the time, sit with his wife over and over again and advise her. Give her the correct ta'nim. Speak to her in a loving way with a lot of wisdom, explaining to her that, look, it's not on. You can't carry on like this. I can't have you putting your picture on Facebook. I can't have you putting your DP there on WhatsApp for all and sundry to see. I can't have you communicating with non-mahrams. I can't have you exposing the children to this type of sin. Right? So he needs to take the time out, not come like a drill sergeant and, you know what, like this, otherwise you out and pack your bags and move. No, it doesn't work that way. He has to try and mend the home. So he has to take out time, he has to dedicate time, give up his hobbies, spend that time with his wife and make her zen. Right? So inshallah, in most cases, this will iron out the issues. If this doesn't work, then the second step, وَهْجُرُوهُنَّ فِي الْمَضَاجِ. The man must separate his bed from his wife. Remember, this is within the confines of the bedroom. There is no story of the man going to sleep on the couch because he wants to watch TV till late. Or he's busy communicating with an illicit beloved. This is another problem. The men are very chalak. They got their own things going and they door everything on the wife. Remember, Allah Ta'ala is watching. Inna Allah kana alaykum raqiba. Allah Ta'ala is watching over us. Sometimes the lady doesn't have that intellectual capacity, she doesn't have that wit, she's not quick on the uptake to realize what's going on. And the man makes her look like a real stupid. But remember, in the court of Allah Ta'ala, the gift of the gab is not going to work. So he must separate his bed from her within the bedroom. In other words, even the children must not know that there is a dispute carrying on here. Now, if even the children must not know, then definitely no outsider must know. The biggest mistake we make is to take a marital dispute to a third party. Remember, the amount that a husband can forgive a wife and the amount that a wife can forgive the husband, nobody else can do. Nobody else can be so forgiving. A wife may even end up having an illicit affair. Right? Initially, the husband may be furious and whatever. But in the end, long as nobody else knows about it, he will be prepared to forgive, forget, pick up the pieces and move on. And the same on the other side. But as soon as we involve third parties and fourth parties, then the party is over. Now it becomes a big problem. Because now the parents will tell the girl, "You're insane to go back. If you go back and you have a problem, don't call us to dry your tears. You're on your own now." Now all these things start getting spoken. Some time back, I read out to you a reply that a mother had given to her daughter when the daughter phoned to complain to her about her husband. Right? Now, I can't remember the whole details of the message, but The gist of it was, she told her that, "Oh my daughter, don't complain to me about your husband, because I can never be as forgiving to him as you can be. If I come to know what he is doing to you, I will never be able to look at him the same again. But if it's between the two of you, you all will sort it out and carry on. And with time, things iron themselves out, both parties grow up, they mature more mentally, and things come right. But once we involve other people, this is when the problem spirals out of control, because then your sister said that, and who made this story, and this is not true, and that is, oh, she's saying that about me. Then the both lose respect for one another, the families get involved, and you have a whole dammal taking place. Right? So, this second step of separating the bed within the room, this is something that is very hard for a good wife to swallow. My husband is actually not sleeping with me. He's not even sharing the bed with me. This is something that a wife cannot take if she's a good wife. Right? So if she's just stepped out of line a little bit, this will knock some sense into the head and she will be apologetic and things will come right. Right. Now we come to a very, very hot topic now. Right? Because I say hot topic, I land myself in hot water. Right? Which people don't understand it properly. So listen carefully. Don't just make your mind race before you hear the explanation. Right? Especially the mothers and sisters listening on the receivers and the streaming and all that. If this second step didn't prove fruitful, right? That means the man separated his bed also from her, but still she is not coming right. She is still being so disobedient and carrying on in her wayward ways. The third step is wadribuhun. Loosely translated as hit them. Right? Literal translation, hit them. Right? Now this is whose words? Allah Ta'ala's words. Right? Now, you got to understand this. You got to understand the background to this. In Arab custom, Arab society, they had no respect for their wives at all. Forget their wives, they had no respect for women. I mean, if they could bury a daughter alive, you can understand the mentality when it came to women. If a wife did something wrong, right, the husband was mad with his wife, it was not uncommon for him to tie her up behind his horse or his donkey, ride up a mountain with her dragging behind, and then throw off to her death. It wasn't uncommon in Jahiliyyah, in ignorance. Right? So if the man could do that, then hitting the wife, spousal abuse, that was like the order of the day. Right? When Dine Islam came, Nabi Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam put an end to all of this. Then what happened was, you see, the ladies had complained, obviously, that now, you know, men are so hard and they're hitting and all these things. So all this was now prohibited. The man can't do this. He can't raise his hand on his wife, right? When this happened, now the wives got very bold. They got very bold now, right? So now the men came to complain. Now what happened one day was, one Sahabi gave his wife one shot, not on the face, gave her one shot. So she came with her father, I think. She came with her father to complain to Nabi Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. So Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said that she has the right to take retribution. Right? وَإِنْ عَقَبْتُمْ فَعَقِبُوا بِمِثْلِ مَا عُقِبْتُمْ بِهِ. She can take revenge now. He hit her. He had no right to hit her. It's not allowed. She can go and hit him back. Or she can make him maaf, one of the two. Right? So father and daughter now left from there. They got license now. She can give the husband one shot back. Right? As they are going, Allah Ta'ala reveals His verse. Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam calls them back. So, sorry, can't hit your husband back. The shot that he gave you, he was within his right. Now, this shot, that a husband is permitted to give to the wife. Let us discuss this shot first. Right? It must be such that it doesn't even leave a mark on the skin. Forget causing any injury to the body. Right? It mustn't even leave a mark on the skin. It cannot be on the face. Right? It has to be on the arm, or it can be on the thigh. It is just kept there as a dhamki. Right? You see, to understand it, let's go back a little bit. Right? There was a day in the schools when a principal walked around with a cane. Right? Most of the elder people seen this zamana, right? How many of you got a hiding? Right? Majority didn't, right? You get the odd situation where a person got a hiding, you had to go to the office, you got one or two shots with a cane. Right. And if he has to total the amount of days he went to school in comparison to the days he got a hiding, maybe it's 0.5% or 0.25%. So understand this. The hiding was not the order of the day. The hiding was the exception. In an extreme situation, when everything else failed, before expulsion, we will exhaust one last method, which is hiding. Right? Before expulsion. Because after that, the next step is expulsion. Right? Now come back to the institute of nikah, of marriage. Allah Ta'ala is saying, adopt taqwa. Allah Ta'ala is saying, treat them with kindness. Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam is saying, overlook the faults. Know fully well that they are created from the crooked lip. All this counsel is given to us. Right? Then, if there is a serious dispute, first sit, give nasihat, speak, make her zehen. Right? This fails. Now, this is not just one day and 2 days. This is over a lengthy period of time. Right? If this fails, separate your bed for a while. This fails, you've exhausted now everything. She is still not being obedient. She is still talking to strange men. This is not for salt and sugar stories. This is for serious crimes. Right? Now, the husband is talking to her. She is arguing back. She is not listening. Right? He is telling her, you can't leave the house. She is insistent, I am going. Right? So now, in this extreme situation, the husband is permitted to give her one shot. Right? The strength of that shot must be this much that it doesn't even leave a mark on the skin. So it's a very, very light tap. Just to shock her into realization that, look, come right, wake up. The cane is not kept so that you go around hitting. It is kept so that the delinquent knows, if I do something, there is a possibility I may get a shot. It's a preventative measure. So this ijazat that is given is the same. To make the lady realize that, look, in an extreme situation, you can even get a shot. Not that husbands must go around hitting their wives. That is not allowed. And what we call spousal abuse, that is totally a no-go. That's got no place in Deen and Shariat. So a husband in an extreme situation is allowed to give his wife one shot. Right? Now, that should make things work. Right? That should sort things out. Now, if a husband exhausted this, gave his wife one shot also, she laughed at him. Because he's not really going to pain. It's understand something. It is not a shot to inflict pain. It's more, you know, it's a thing. You know, to the wife, you give me a shot, you know. And now this man, for so many years, he's never done this. It's not his nature to do this. So on the one hand, she feels insulted, right? And on the other hand, she thinks to herself, that, you know what? What have I done to drive him to this? He's a person who doesn't harm a fly. And for him to actually do something like this, I have to really sort myself out. Right? So you got to understand it in a proper light. Okay? Now, if this sorts the problem out, then the matter ends there. It's over. The husband now has to be loving and kind to her again. If it doesn't end there, the husband doesn't have the right to increase the intensity of the hiding. Sharia doesn't allow him that. If he's reached a point where he just cannot handle this wife of his anymore. She is just being totally disobedient, defiant, not prepared to listen to Allah Ta'ala, not prepared to listen to him. Right? Then what? We'll come to then what just now. Let's go to the man. Because obviously now, a lady, what is her road to recourse? We spoke about the things that the lady is faltering in, or about the man. Right? For the lady, we will say the same things. If the man is throwing his socks around, right? He is not picking up his dishes after he ate, right? He forgets to buy the milk and bread every day when he comes home, right? These are all things we have to live with. That's men. That's how they are. Right? They don't remember the child's date of birth. Whenever I go to the doctor, if I have to take the children to the doctor, they ask me now, what's the date of birth? I say, you're not supposed to ask a man that question. A man, you ask him his date of birth. A lady, you don't ask her date of birth. Lady, she don't disclose her age. But you want to know the children's date of birth, you ask her. She'll know all the dates. Don't ask the man what he knows about date of birth and all that. He just knows that school fees in nursery school is this much, primary school that much, high school that much. So here, now on the lady's side, her husband is not providing for her. Right? He's not giving her nafaka. He's not bringing food in the home. Right? This is a problem. For this is her right. Number two, he's not fulfilling her conjugal rights. This is also a problem. It's also her haq. Right? Number three, he is putting certain demands upon her which is haram. Sharia doesn't allow these things and he is demanding these things of her. This is a problem. Number four, the people whom she is allowed to have contact with, he is stopping her, not allowing her to speak to her parents. So he is now faltering, or he is taking drugs, he is visiting escort agencies, she picks it up. He's got illicit belovedness. He is threatening her life. He's driving under the influence like a maniac. He's abusing her. He's hitting her. She feels threatened living with him. So these are all reasons for which she can actually request, right, for her marriage to be annulled. That's her road to recourse. She has got two options, right? Because she now can't sit to some jawed husband. He is in a drunken state. What is she going to teach him now? She cannot say that she's going to separate her bed from him. She cannot give him one shot. Right? So what is she going to do? So we are at a crossroads. For the man also, he's exhausted everything. The dispute is not coming right. For the lady, her rights are not being fulfilled. She cannot do these things. So what does she do? So Allah Ta'ala says, وَإِنْ خِفْتُمْ شِقَاقَ بَيْنِهِمَا. That now you fear a total breakdown between the two of them. They can't uphold one another's rights. They can't uphold the rights of nikah. They can't uphold Allah Ta'ala's rights. Right? There's a total breakdown now. So now what must we do? Only at this point do we involve a third party. Up until this point, husband and wife must sort the problem out themselves. And wallahi, most marriages that break could be saved if a third party never got involved. Many a times when disputes come to me, you got one whole group here, you got one whole group there. Many a times, I say, you know what, I just want to see the husband and wife alone. And 9 out of 10 times, it works out. They sort themselves out, and it works out. But once you involve too many people, now it becomes a thing of face, and it becomes a thing of loyalties now. Because you went and told your brother, the lady went and told her brother. Her brother came to fight with the husband. Now tomorrow you making up with the husband and holding hands, and now the brother now He looks like a villain now. So now she needs to show her loyalties to her brother now. So even if she wants to go back to the husband, now how it's going to look this side now? She finished, go and tell everybody there what a pathetic husband this is. Now how is she going to make a U-turn now? And the same on the other side. So a third party only comes in here now. Now how does this third party thing work? Not your brother and auntie came with a whalen and that fellow came with a baseball stick and this one got a hockey stick and I'm going to kill you and you taking out gun for me. And no, no. It works like this. There's a dispute now. She's got genuine problems, not nitty-gritty issues. Or he has exhausted every avenue and now there's no other way out. So now the families get involved. Right? Her family must choose one person from them. And this person, Quran Sharif refers to him as a hakam, meaning he must be a person who has got adequate knowledge. He must be a person of wisdom. He mustn't be a person who makes rash decisions. He mustn't be an emotional type of a person. Right? He must be a level-headed somebody. So one person like this will be chosen from the girl's side, girl's family. One person like this will be chosen from the boy's family. They will sit the two of them down. They will not be biased. They will listen to their whole story. And it's still within the family. You didn't get outsiders involved as yet. It's still within the family unit. Right? So the two of them will sit. And Allah Ta'ala says that these two people, these two hukama now, these two people who are going to be the arbitrators, they mustn't be traitors, they will be arbitrators. إِيُّرِيدَ إِسْلَاحَي يُوَفِّقِ اللَّهُ بَيْنَهُمَا. If the two of them have got reconciliation in their hearts, Allah Ta'ala will cause that couple to reconcile. But if the two of them, they got different intentions, then very hard for this problem to get sorted out. If the boxing gloves are out, how are you going to sort the problem out? Both of them have to come level-headed to say that, you know what, we're not here to insult you, not here to insult you, not here to say you wrong. We're here to find common ground. We're here to help you and advise you how to live your life in order to save your marriage. Right? These two people, their authority ends here. They only have the authority to try and reconcile the couple. That's all. However, if the couple feel that, you know what, we're not making headway, we hand over our case to these two arbitrators. They must make a decision as to whether we must continue living together or this marriage should be ended. Both the couples have to agree to this. Right? There was a case in the time of Sayyidina Ali radiallahu ta'ala. Two parties came, boy's family, girl's family, husband, wife, all now, you know, all hotted up, they're ready now, you know, to argue this thing out. So Ali radiallahu ta'ala said, wait. Choose one hakam from your family, choose one hakam from your family. And then let the two of them decide the matter. So the lady said, I'm happy with this. The wife, she said, look, I'm happy with this. I hand over the authority to them. Right? Whatever decision they make, if they say it must be khula, it will be khula. If they say no, I must stick around in the marriage for another 6 months, I'll stick around. If they say no, this marriage should end in divorce right now, I'm happy with that. Whatever they decide, I'm happy with it. The husband, he said, no, I'm not mandating them. They can reconcile my marriage. With regards to khula and divorce and all that, I'm not talking about that. I want my marriage. They can even tell me to pay a penalty. They can charge me a fine for whatever my wrongs may have been. I'll pay my wife. But I want my marriage to work. I'm not talking about divorce. But now probably, as Ali radiallahu ta'ala, in his wisdom, maybe it was an ongoing matter or whatever, as Ali radiallahu ta'ala told the husband, no. You need to mandate these people. Only if you mandate them can we move forward. Right? So we learn from there that these two arbitrators, their function is to reconcile the marriage. That is their function. However, if the couple decides that, look, we endlessly be fighting, we don't know what decision to make anymore, we mandate you all. We hand the matter over to you all. You all decide what must do. Right? So then they can take a decision. Either they say, look, let's give it another trial period, or, you know what, it's the lady's fault, we should end in khula, or it's the man's fault, he should issue her with the talaq. Right? Whatever decision they make will be binding. Right? Now, say these hakams, right, they can't get going. The two of them can't get going. The husband has exhausted everything. He even gave the one shot also. Now the hakams got involved. They too couldn't sort out anything. Now where does it leave him? He's still sitting in the marriage. And he's still got the same problems. So now Shariat has given him a way out. Divorce her. You can't keep her and hit her and abuse her. If you can't live with her, divorce her, let her go. She goes her way, you go your way, finish, the story is over. The dispute ends. Allah Ta'ala will bless you with somebody else. Allah Pak will bless her with somebody else. Right? For the lady, if the problem is the husband now, right? For the lady, now if the husband is being bullheaded, he's being stubborn, he doesn't want to mandate the hakams. If he mandates the hakams, the story is over. Right? He must be fair. Now when a Muslim man doesn't be fair, then it causes badnami to Islam. Then the lady feels, Islam doesn't protect my rights. Islam protects her rights. A man is being foolish. He's being stubborn for no reason. He just wants to show his authority now. He forgets that Allah Pak is an authority over him. When Allah Pak's hiding will come, then what he's going to do? So now the lady, the hakams came in, they couldn't sort out anything, the problems are still existing. So she has got two roads left for her. One road is a road of khula. She offers the husband a payout. Right? Now, she can offer whatever she wants to offer. But for a husband, if the fault is his, it is wrong of him. He got no skin on his face. If he accepts more than the meher he gave her. All he is supposed to take back is the meher that he had given her. Right? All other gifts and other things, nothing. Right? But say he is acting stubborn. Now he is lalchi. So she can entice him with extra wealth. If she just wants to get out of the marriage. Right? So she can tell him that, you know what? Fine. I'll give you the meher back. Plus, I'll give you that other jewelry you gave me and all that. I'll give it all back to you. Right? Now if he's a lalchi, now he'll fall for that and he'll agree to the khula, jaan chuto. Right? Her life is now out of this situation. She doesn't have to be subjected to this man's zulam and oppression. Right? If khula doesn't work, he is not prepared to go the khula route, then she has one more road left to her. And that road is the road of annulment. Right? Now the road of annulment is not a short road and not an easy road. The road of annulment works like this. She will have to go to a judicial body because we don't have a qazi. If there was a qazi, if we're living in an Islamic country and there was a qazi, She would go to the qazi, she would go to the courts, right? We don't have that situation. So she will go to a judicial body. Judicial body in our country, like Jamiatul Ulama, Darul Ihsan, right? Maybe there's other judicial bodies in other provinces, right? Now they will have a judicial panel, okay? This panel, they cannot just issue a divorce. Must get that out of our minds. It is appreciated that, look, the girl is going through headache and havoc and problem and whatever, but at the end of the day, the judicial panel never tell her to marry him. And the judicial panel never tell him to behave like that. Right? So they have to follow a process. They have to follow a process. They have to be 100% sure when they annulling this marriage that the system is not being abused. Right? So they will first sit with the couple. They will sit with the couple, ascertain a few facts, try and see if they can't reconcile them. If they fail, then they will look at the case. The first step will be to try and reconcile. They don't want to know all long drawn stories. They want to reconcile. If the both of them reconcile, then we don't need to know the dirty linen, all the dirty laundry. We don't need to know if the both of them reconcile. But if we can see now, you know, there's no reconciliation. So now they will look at the case. They will study the case. And they will see whether there are grounds for an annulment. Right? If there are genuine grounds for an annulment, then they will annul the marriage. If there's no genuine grounds, then they cannot annul. They are bound by a set of rules. They cannot annul. They will have to try and speak to the husband, explain to him that, look, things are not working out here. You rather divorce your wife. How are you going to keep somebody against their will? Right? Now, this can take months. Right? I know a family member of mine who was going through abuse. Such abuse, right, that the one day, perchance, her parents happened to come to her home. She was living in another town and her parents happened to come to her home. And she was comatose. Right? The son, who at that time was about 10 years old, the husband was not at home. Right? So they're asking the son, what happened? Because she's all bruised up and she's like out in like a semi-unconscious state on the bed. So they ask the son, what happened? The son says, I don't know what happened. I found her bleeding on the bathroom floor. Now, although there was this kind of abuse, right? But to end that marriage took about 2.5 years. Why? Because the husband is not being straight, not being honest. Playing cat and mouse, don't come for meetings, don't listen. And in the end, the marriage ended in a khula. Right? They ended the marriage in a khula. So this annulment process is not an easy road. It's not an easy route. And the people who are sitting on that panel, it's not an easy decision for them to make. Because they are taking away a right that a man has and exercising that right against his wish. So they have to be 110%, 120% or 220% sure, because tomorrow they have to stand in front of Allah Pak. And if this girl or her family abused the system, if they got more of a gift of the gab, more influence or whatever, and they abused the system, and these people didn't do their homework properly, and they just made a fesla, and there was no real grounds, they got a major problem in akhirah. So it has, when they make a decision in the end, when you are going to put your signature on an annulment form, that alim or that mufti who is sitting there, you must compare that signature to his normal signature. You'll think he's suffering from Parkinson's. It's not an easy thing to do. So it's not like an easy process now. You just go in there, put the food in the microwave, press one button, it got hot, take it out. We went to the Jamiat office, just getting a case that we want annulment here, we want our talaq, and we're going. It doesn't work that way. It's a whole procedure. It's a court case. Just that it's not happening in the court. But it's a whole court case. Now you know sometimes how court cases, if one party is acting funny, you know how the thing can drag. Recently there was a case, the mufti who's handling annulment, so some allegation was made. Now he's asking the other party, he says, "Bhai, give me your statement." Now he can't do nothing till he gets a statement. Now that man is playing cat and mouse, not giving the statement. Now where does it leave the mufti? Now one side, these people will feel, "You're not doing your job here, you're dealing us." That side, his hands are tied. That man is saying, "No, I'll come tomorrow, I'll come next week, I'll come next month." So it's a very, very difficult situation, this annulment thing. The best thing is where the couples can agree on the hakam and give a mandate to the hakam. Both couples give a mandate to the hakam, right? So first, the hakams will try and reconcile. If there is just no reconciliation, then they will pass a verdict. This is what should be done. And that's the end of the whole thing. Ji, disputes take long to sort out. So dispute program also had to be long. So that is in brief how this whole thing operates. And inshallah, this... Normally they make MP3 of the Ramadan programs, but I want to request them that this four programs, they put it in a separate CD. It's nice to have it. We've got a set of a series of talks for girls that are going to become brides, and even those who are already wives. But that's quite long now. There are 100 and something lessons in, I don't know how many, 130 or 40 or something lessons in there. So that will take a long while to listen to. But something like this, just four programs, we would listen to it quickly, get a gist of things. We're busy preparing one for husbands. The other one we did for wives last year. It took the whole year of lessons, and then it was put into a MP3. So this year we're busy doing advices to the husband from the beginning, how it all goes with the proposal and nikah and walima and in-laws and bylaws and everything. So everything will be covered, inshallah. And once that's ready, then we can put that also onto an MP3 and can give the couples wedding present, one for the wife, one for the husband. Allah Ta'ala give us tawfiq. Subhanallah wa bihamdi. Subhanakallahumma wa bihamdik. Nashhadu an la ilaha illa anta nastaghfiruka wa natubu ilayh. Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh.